There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio is on radio.com.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 710. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, co-host of the show, Mr. Pete. How you doing, man?
What up?
What's going on, man? Yo, this is the best week in gaming history in a very long time, dude.
Why do you say that?
Greatest week ever.
Why?
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 So many games, man. Wolfenstein, Assassin's Creed, and Game of the Year contender. Looks like it might be Game of the Year. Super Mario Odyssey, man.
It's a Is great, that this week great, already?
It's this Friday, Pete. And Destiny 2. Is coming out the 24th for the PC.
I don't care.
No, but I'm saying for those that haven't played it, you know what I'm saying? It's a big week in gaming, man. Huge week. Last week, Fire Emblem Warriors came out on Friday. And now all these games come out this week. Mm-hmm. Then the week after that, yo, it's like the Xbox One X comes out, like, I think in 2 weeks. We have Doom coming out. We have Skyrim coming out for the Nintendo Switch. Oh my God. Xenoblade for the Nintendo Switch. Dude, it's so many freaking games coming out, man. Call of Duty.
That I'm looking forward to. Battlefront 2.
Battlefront 2. I'm telling you, it's
a great holiday lineup. Now, I wouldn't say the greatest week, but holiday lineup, it's definitely one to put in the books, you know, something to do.
All right. I will defend that. Tell me another week in 1 week, so many games that came out in 1 week.
Well, dude, that's really hard to put it up against, dude. I mean,
I've been thinking about this for a while.
Just 2-3 years ago, you had Call of Duty, Battlefield 1 and Titanfall all dropping in the same week.
But that's all shooters.
You asked this me is, a week of games, period. You didn't quantify. You didn't qualifier I know. In there. But that's a good, solid week of games releasing all on the same day.
Great, great lineup right there, Pete. But here's the difference. The games that I mentioned, they're all different.
I love how you asked me my opinion, and then you qualify your own to fit your narrative.
No, but Pete, what I'm saying is, all three games that I mentioned that's coming out this week on Friday, all of them are different, and all of them been getting positive like previews so far from everybody. So, I mean, we already played Mario Odyssey at E3. We played Assassin's Creed Origins, which is freaking amazing. And the only thing that I haven't even played is Wolfenstein, unless you got to see it at E3, but that game is getting positive feedback too.
It is.
So that's what I'm saying.
And I know someone that's not here today. Obviously, we've done the intro, but as people can hear, there's no Paris on today's show. He has that strong belief that Wolfenstein is not going to be the financial success we all expect it to be, but it will be a critical success. Unfortunately, that level of success isn't always measured in you know, the reviews and the response by gamers and consumers, et cetera. It's typically done by, you know, number of sales. I think it's a good game, especially now in the time that we're in, the message that it puts across. But I don't know. There's so many games. It's almost like, and I think we've said this on the show before, it's almost where it might fall into that title, that Titanfall 2 alley of bad launch dates, right? Like that's a game I would have loved to have seen get released a couple of weeks ago, or wait beyond a couple of weeks from now, right? Like maybe tail end of November, early December, mid December, something like that, just so that it doesn't fall in between these major hit games that negatively affect a good to great game because of its, you know, because of the launch window that, you know, was determined for it, whether it be by, you know, whomever it is, maybe it was Pete Hines saying, okay, no, okay, it's going to be a solid game. People are looking forward to it. I do personally feel that it's going to be a critical success because, mm-hmm. you know, just Bethesda has that skill set of just releasing solid games, but you know, it is what it is, you know, just putting it in that poor launch release window just might negatively affect it.
I think that Wolfenstein, but first, yeah, I could agree with that. Now that they started doing this unique and crazy marketing campaign online, I think this game is going to sell just because the way how they're promoting this game marketing wise. Now, is it going to sell more than Mario and Assassin's Creed? No, I don't think so. But
no way.
I think no way. There's no way in hell that's going to sell more than that. Especially Mario. No.
No, I don't think any game this year is going to sell as much as Mario does. And no. I think just overall, just the game itself is going to sell phenomenally, but consoles sells, you know, in general for the Nintendo Switch, because I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a bundle out with regards to it. And who knows, that PowerPoint deck's already sitting on the side.
Oh, yeah, they already announced it. They already announced the bundle, too.
already Mario got the PowerPoint deck ready to go.
yeah.
But we should go to the topics, Pete.
We should go to the topics. We're like, okay, go ahead.
Who cares if we're not going to the... Do we need a bullet point list of what we're going to talk about? No. Our best shows are usually without an agenda that we talk about. So this has been a great conversation anyway. So let's just let it flow, man. Don't interrupt the flow.
No. I'm just excited to talk about this. That's why. It's not time.
Again, you have your own narrative you want to push. You don't want to listen to anybody else. But I think it's going to sell fantastically. I think Assassin's Creed is going to do a phenomenal job from a sales and critical success wise. I mean, we've seen it, we've played it, we know what it can do. We know that the Assassin's Creed franchise does very, very well for itself. People have been looking forward to it. People love the concept of ancient Egypt, and I think that's going to help push that, you know, towards a very, very successful launch. So yeah, I mean, I agree. It's going to be a good sales week. It's a good time to be a gamer. It's a great time to be alive right now.
definitely. And speaking about, you know, Assassin's Creed and Mario Odyssey right now, be sure to be careful, because now there's a lot of trolls out there posting spoilers of both games. I know the Assassin's Creed origin story, people have been posting spoilers like through all over social media. Also, Super Mario Odyssey, they already been posting tutorials how to finish the whole game on YouTube. It's like, my God, the game hasn't even come out yet. Like, you know, let us enjoy that moment playing these games for the first time, not knowing anything about it. So for those who are listening or watching this right now, be really careful. If you really want to be surprised, stay away from social media. Stay away from it. It's hard to do that, but just be careful, because honestly, I don't want to spend $60 and I already know everything that's going on. I'm not going to be surprised once I play these games, you know? So it's very disappointing hearing about that, man.
Oh, no. Well, it's a risk that people have to take regardless of the title, especially getting this close to launch. It's, you know, we saw it last week with Nintendo. We see it now coming out with Assassin's Creed Origins. If I'm not mistaken, I think some of them might have even accidentally come out on a, on one of the official Ubisoft streams. But it's been a combination of, you know, streamers from, you know, the United States, Latin America as well. You know, it's pretty much, it's the risk you take from people when you release the game out early for reviewers to check it out and have be able to form a solid opinion on the response of the game prior to the, to its launch. You know, and everybody's, unfortunately, we've talked about this countless times, people are going for that 15 minutes of internet fame right now just so that they can say, oh, well, look, you know, here's the first five levels of the game, you know, a week before it launches. And while it might be great for in the immediate for their initial social media and streaming response, that automatically gives you the check mark on, okay, don't send this guy a review copy in the future. Right. And again, we've, like we said this multiple times, the video game industry is very, very small.
Very small.
So what you do now negatively affects what's going to be available for you in the future. And the more X's or check marks you put in your history book of what you've done or what you've contributed, the more negative marks you put in there by streaming these things, next thing you know, when you're asking, oh, well, you know, I want to, you know, can I get this game? They're just going to look at you and laugh and be like, no, sorry, man. Why are we going to do that for you if you're not going to do us any favors? So, you know, people need to stop looking at the immediate and start, if this is something that you really, really want to do. Now, there's always going to be those bad apples and there's always going to be the malicious ones that are like, nah, you know, I don't care if this really gets me a job in the gaming industry. I'm just doing this for fun. There's nothing you can do about that, right?
People are trying to do this to get the intention in there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is what it is. And sometimes you have to deal with those bad apples. Well, there's nothing else. There's not really much you can do sometimes. So
send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Well, let's talk about the Nintendo Switch, because once again, the sales has been amazing so far. So a couple of days ago, I just received a press release from Nintendo about the, you know, the hardware sales of not only the Nintendo Switch but also the Super NES Classic and also the 3DS. So I'm gonna read this so you guys can see how big this thing is. And remember, this is from September. Holiday season even haven't even started yet. Mario Odyssey is not out yet. So this is everything based on what happened back in last month of September. All right. So in September, the Nintendo system was once again the top-selling current console hardware, according to the NPD Group. So what's going to happen is on Monday, I think sometime this week, your NPD is going to send out the official press release of, not the press release, but like all the top games that have been sold, that sold the most last month, and also the consoles and everything. So hopefully Sony will say something and Xbox too. So they're saying that Nintendo systems claim 2/3 of September video game hard sales. So that's combined, everything combined with Nintendo 3DS, Super Nintendo Classic, and the Nintendo Switch. Here are the top games that sold last month too, all right, for the Nintendo Switch alone. Mario Rabbids was number 7. Congrats, Ubisoft. The Legend of Zelda that came out back in March is number 10. Mario 8 Deluxe.
Mario Kart 8.
My bad. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I don't know. It was number 11. Also, Metroid for the 3DS is also there, I believe, in the top 8. That came out for the Nintendo 3DS. So, and here's the scary part. again, this is only September.
I think you need to quantify. I think you need to correct this, though, because this is
what
for the United States.
Yeah, yeah, United States. I'm not talking about.
Just want to make sure that if we're going to put this information out there like you are, let's just do it correctly and make sure that it's done right. So.
Okay. Just saying. All right. So here's the games that the games that's coming out for the Nintendo Switch. We talked about this. Fire Emblem just came out, of course, a few days ago. I'm going to talk about that game. Super Mario Odyssey on the 27th. Doom and Elder Scrolls Skyrim from Bethesda is coming out November 10th. And I think Skyrim is coming out November 17th. Damn, back to back. Crazy, Bethesda. Crazy. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 coming out December 1st. And the 3DS is going to have a bunch of games too. Fire Emblem Warriors October 20th. It just came out. Mario Party, I believe it's like the top Mario Party mini games altogether. I think the top 100 coming out November 10th. Pokemon, Pete, you. I know your family loves Pokemon, right? Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon on November 17th. So all this is helping Nintendo create a crazy buzz more than PlayStation, more than Xbox. And they haven't had it. It hasn't been a year yet with the Nintendo Switch, which is insane. But you want to say anything about those games or
no? The just sales? It's not surprising that it's Nintendo, right? So people, especially now as we lead up into the holiday seasons, I think their numbers are just going to soar astronomically. I don't think there's a question as to the success that Nintendo has in general. They're usually up there when it comes to hardware sales, especially with their, with, especially whenever it's their, you know, within that first year of their stuff, the Wii, in my personal opinion, and I think a lot of some people may succeed, you know, some people may or may not agree with me. I think it was a flop. I think it was a mistake that they put that out there.
That was a mistake, P. It was one of the most selling consoles out there back in the days, man.
Again, my personal opinion, shut your face.
I'm going based on facts, man. I'm going based on facts. That's fake news.
Whatever. You can't say my personal opinion is fake news. It's my personal opinion. We've had this argument in the past. My personal opinion. Again, I will preface it. My personal opinion. I think that the Wii was a mistake. It wasn't what it should have or could have been. I do believe that the Switch is the truth. It's great, but I need to figure out whether I can fit this into my personal life schedule.
All right, well, save your money, man, and have your PowerPoint presentation ready, Pete, because I think it's going to get even better. It's going to get even better. And actually, I want to play this voicemail, Pete, because I know this is part of our fan mail, but it relates to the conversation that we have now. Can we play it?
Give me a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, GamerTax, Rob from Virginia Beach. Just want to throw my two cents in. I know we've been talking about this past few episodes about the virtual console for the Switch. So, you know, here's my comment slash question that's already been talked about a bunch. But just imagine Nintendo Switch has a virtual console. I'm just like Paris, or Paris is just like me, because I said it first before he said it in the chat room. I would totally spend $5 or $10 per game for the games that I want. There's maybe 10, maybe 15 games that I could think of all the way from, you know, Nintendo all the way up that I would want. And hey, after I play all those games, there might be some more games after that. So I would definitely pay the per price to have it on the virtual console. But then also think about the potential of having Netflix or Hulu, or, you know, I get on Twitch just for you guys. So having, you know, Twitch on there, The UI on Nintendo is so clean, so fast. If they can manage to put all those programs on there and still have everything just open up immediately, have the updates when they update only take a couple of seconds, if they can manage that and give you something that you can literally take anywhere and have all those products anywhere, I mean, minus the phone, that is the one piece of electronic that you can have that has everything on there. So, I think that if they did all that stuff, they would cater to every market, and then more third-party developers would end up coming to Nintendo. So that would be an amazing product. I hope to see that in the future. But that's all I have to say about that, Nintendo.
All right. Well, thank you once again, Rob, for the voicemail. Appreciate it. We always appreciate fan mail. So listeners, viewers on Twitch, if you guys want to participate, feel free to hit us up, SpeakPipe, leave us a voicemail. Danny always plays the audio. So 786-273-7GTR.
Yep, you got that right.
It's only been like 9 years. But,
Yeah.
Me personally, I mean, I think we've all said this, so I don't think there's, you know, there, you know, I think we've all said this in the past. The virtual console is where it should be, and I think that's the direction eventually that the Switch will go. As far as the whole Netflix app thing, I know they've got Nico Nico out there as a video streaming platform or a video streaming app on the Switch. And folks, just because I don't personally have it does not mean I haven't done my research in the back end. And if I'm not mistaken, if it hasn't been, you know, full confirmation, it does open the door, at least in my personal opinion, for other third-party apps to do this. Now, whether they'll actually get a Hulu or a Twitch or a Roku app, you know, that wasn't something that they were focusing on at launch, and understand that that's at launch, and we're still essentially technically within that launch window because we're still within that first 6 months of how it, you know, when it's come out to the public and stuff. That wasn't their focus. Their focus was on releasing a gaming device or a gaming platform first. Kind of think of it as like a mobile PS4. Because remember, at the beginning when PS4 launched, their whole thing was games first, and then we'll worry about everybody else. As you know, that's what, you know, Microsoft had been pushing for the Xbox One, where all this all-in-one device. Two separate concepts, two separate campaigns. Doesn't mean that it won't come at a later date. And I think they said this in the past. It's just not something that they're concerned with at launch. Now, there was a rumor last month where a Netflix customer service rep said that the app was locked and loaded and ready for Nintendo to approve. But again, rumor, speculation, who knows? It's not like the Tegra X1 can't do it. We know it can handle 4K. So as long as you're on a Wi-Fi enabled device, I would think it'd be, I don't think it would be an issue. But at that point, would it be successful from a mobile device platform? I don't know. I can't see it. I can't see trying to stream, you know, a movie, you know, over the internet with the Switch. But, you know, if you're on a Wi-Fi, I don't see why not.
Yeah. It's like, it's going to happen. Right now, Nintendo, that's not even their focus, and they're doing pretty good with the sales. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they are going to add that later. Like you said about Netflix, officially, that's going to happen. Now, the question that I do have, Twitch, is that coming? Are they going to have a feature there where you could actually stream these games from your Nintendo Switch to Twitch? I'm very curious about that because they just added a new update where you could record like a 30-second clip for now. I heard they're going to make it longer later. You could record certain games. You could just hold the share button and it will record like the 30 seconds previously from while you're playing there live, whatever. So I did that with Mario Kart. I did that with Zelda, like as a test. And yeah, it works fine. It looks great. Now, my question is, how is that going to look if we ever stream games from the Nintendo Switch to Twitch? That's the thing that I would love to see, because right now I don't have a PC, which I'm definitely going to get that later on. But it's easier for me to do everything from the console to Twitch. You know, it's not compared to the PC. It's not, you know, 1080p or anything like that, but it's good enough for something simple. You know what I'm saying? So,
but understand.
I wish I could add that.
But understand though that the Xboxes and the PlayStations and the PCs have the additional hardware to be able to stream while you're playing. And that's where we don't know if the Tegra X1 chip that the Nintendo Switch has, does it have that? Like, I don't know if it's going to have the requisite memory to be able to run that in the background. Streaming is a somewhat CPU intensive process. Do you really want to jeopardize the performance of a game? And this is where Nintendo has to take, you know, has to make a decision. You know, is that something that they want to risk or potentially, you know, affect the game experience of their, let's say you're playing Breath of the Wild on the Switch. Do you want to have your game suffer to give the consumer the ability to stream that online. And so that's the decision. That's one of those decisions that always have to be in the back of the mind of Nintendo. Do you want to negatively affect the performance of your product just to ameliorate the wants and needs of a consumer? Right. So
yeah.
Can it stream? It's possible, but is it going to give the experience that you're trying to portray to the consumer? Like whether it's a Twitch viewer, you know, I don't know. The share button I think is cool for giving out quick 30-second clips of stuff like that, because we've all done it. We've all pushed out clips of experiences that we've done, whether it be, you know, from whether it was on Twitch or Facebook Live or Twitter, what have you. But trying to give that full game experience, I don't know if you could stream through it to show out your games, but I don't see why it couldn't do something similar to the Twitch desktop app where you can, excuse me, where you can just participate, either join in a server, talk to the people that are playing, you know, that are playing the games, or sit there and use it as, you know, just a streaming device that you can, you know, jump into the Gamertag radio channel, watch the podcast, or watch one of us doing Let's Play streams, you know, Wednesdays and Fridays in the morning, or Saturday, Sunday nights. I think it would be great like that. I just don't know if the Switch itself would be conducive to doing full game streams, you know, from the device itself, unless A, you're locally connected to your network, of at least via that. Maybe going with the dock might work. And again, I'm just live postulating, you know, as the thoughts are coming in, it might be something possible. I just don't know if the dock has the requisite hardware to be able to make that possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, I'm on the, like on the street and I'm streaming like that. It's,
yeah, I don't
not
think that's
going to work in my opinion. Like dock. Yeah. Like I think from home streaming, let's say Mario Odyssey. Yeah. The thing is, let's say I want to stream Mario Kart and I'm playing online. I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know. I got it. Maybe who knows what Nintendo could pull off from this, man. You never know. But let's continue up, Pete. Just a couple of things. We're going to have some fan mail questions later on and everything. But I want to mention this because, you know, when we were at E3, we were at the Microsoft press conference, you know, they talked about Xbox One X and all that stuff. And the thing that got me super excited when they announced that you could play original Xbox games on the Xbox One. I was super excited because there's some gems that came out during that time that I think a lot of people slept on, because, you know, at that time, PlayStation 2 was like the hot console, you know, and a lot of people slept on Xbox, you know. So now there's an image that got leaked. Supposedly this is going to be like the first few games that's coming out that's from the original Xbox that you could play on your console right now. So I'm going to mention a couple here and let me know what you think, Pete. So one of them is one of my favorite Star Wars games of all time, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. And we were having a conversation, Pete, last week about single player games. This is it right here. This is the big one. So that Team Ninja's Ninja Gaiden Black, amazing game, really, really hard. Red Faction 2. I don't know if you played this, Pete, during that time, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
I remember
you played that or not?
I remember.
Okay. Also, Grabbed by the Ghoulies. That's from Rare. Psychonauts. Dead to Rights. That's from Namco. Crimson Skies. Love that game. That game was really cool. Fusion Frenzy. For those that don't know, that's the picture that you see when I was with Bill Gates. That's the game that we were playing. Was Fusion Frenzy. Blood Rain. I don't know. Never been a fan of that game, but it's there. And the King of Fighters, NeoWave. That's it. That's the list so far. There's 12 games in total. And I think this is a good list to start off with. Now, I would love for Microsoft to add Phantasy Star Online. Please. Please add that. And I'll be super happy. But go ahead, Pete. Your opinion about these games so far?
This is probably going to sound scumbaggy, but I mean, I'm already Danny in Paris already calls me the scumbag, so I mean I don't know if backward compatibility needs to be such a hyper focus for Xbox.
It's optional.
I get it. But
you can't do that on a PlayStation 4, Pete.
Who cares, though?
Yeah, Pete, remember, so, there,
hold on.
This is
you
good.
Asked
this
me is for dumb. My opinion. You can't ask me for my opinion and then interject your narrative. Okay? Like, so a game like Knights of the Old Republic, cool. I loved Knights of the Old Republic on the original Xbox. I don't know if in 2017 that's something I want to play again. There's so many, not a lot of games really translate well over the last 10, 15 years. I don't know if games like that could. Psychonauts, I think we've talked about this in the past. Psychonauts was a great game when it first came out. I don't know if that's something I want to play again in 2017. Actually, I will say it's funny because I know my son was just playing this like a month or two ago on PC. But a lot of these games, while and you like playing these old school retro games and stuff like that. That's great for Danny Pena. But for me, Peter, I don't get a lot of thrill and enjoyment going back and playing these old games because I've already played them. You know, and that's just a personality quirk for myself. I don't find myself going back and playing games from 10, 15 years ago. I don't see a lot of particular joy in going back and going through this, especially if I already spent, you know, dozens or hundreds of hours into the games like those. You know, like I easily can say I've thrown in a good 100 plus hours or 150, 200 hours on Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. I loved it back in the day, but that was back in the day. 2017. It's a new, I'm not the same person. I'm not the same gamer that I was 10, 15 years ago. So I don't know if I want to go back and play a game like Blood Rain or Red Faction 2 or Dead to Rights or Grabbed by Ghoulies or whatever. I just don't see myself going back there. Now, again, you probably have a different opinion on that and you would love to play half of the games on this list. Paris, I don't know. And I'm, you know, Paris, I can't, and I won't speak for Paris, but for me, and you asked me personally, I don't have a desire or a want or a need to go back to that.
There's a couple of reasons why I'm excited. One, the main one is, you know, is part of history. So it's like there's a lot of young gamers that never play these games. This is going to be their opportunity to play for the first time in high res texture. Like, it's going to look really good compared to back in the days.
Is it?
And if you have the Yeah.
How?
They're
not remastering. They're not re-engineering game. They're emulating it. So how are you going to get...
No.
How are you going to get 720 out of 16-bit games?
You want me to answer the question, Pete? I thought you said...
Go ahead. Give
right?
me the so technical me knowledge on how this is going to happen.
No. Please. They said that... Now, with the power of Xbox One S and also X, now they could upscale so it could look a lot better than before with all the games, even the Xbox 360 too. And that's the thing that I'm excited about because, you know, I could play these games. It's going to look good. I even think that Star Wars Knights of the Republic is going to look better too than hopefully than the How? PC version because PC version, there's still a lot of updates. It's like a bunch of stuff. It's not 100%. So now by Microsoft, you know, releasing this game for the Xbox One X and also Xbox One S, it's going to look better. It's basically compatible from back in the days, man. It's going to look good, man. It's going to, based on the interviews that they said, and why are they going to hype it up? Microsoft mentioned this in many interviews that's going to look better, way better than back in the day. Now, is it a remastered? No, it's not a remastered. It's just texture is going to be now more high res, all that stuff, man.
But you can't high res these games.
Why not?
Because they're not going to go through and redo all of the video and picture assets in the game. That's the only way you improve the resolution of a game from a backwards compatibility standpoint. There is no way that unless Microsoft is throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars per title to re-engineer the game for new graphics, there's no way they're going to do that. You can't say that factually, Danny. I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing, Pete. Now, Star Wars for the PC version, that's a port. This game was designed for the original Xbox, and they released it for the PC.
Okay.
And there was mad updates. Like, it wasn't 100% exactly like the original Xbox version. Like, based on opinions of people that have the game for the PC, they are go look it up on YouTube. They are themselves saying that it's not perfect. Yeah, they've been sending patches and updates every single time to make it a little bit better and everything, but this is the original game from the Xbox, which was designed for the Xbox. When they were working on this game, it wasn't for the PC, it wasn't for the mobile phone devices, it wasn't for that. It was for the original Xbox. So now, by them putting this on the new systems, based on this, it's going to look better. It's going to be more smooth than the port. That's the thing that I'm saying.
Way though, yes. Danny. No, because all they're doing is porting over the original
Xbox. It's not a port.
They're not remastering the game. There's no way. They're putting an emulator on the Xbox One X that allows you to play this game using the old system. You are wrong, Danny. I'm sorry. It's the same way that backwards compatibility works now. All they're doing is firing up an emulator on the Xbox One that allows you to play an Xbox 360 game. You're essentially playing it on the Xbox 360. So all they're doing is putting an Xbox, the original Xbox emulator on your Xbox One X or Xbox One. It's not like you're coming up and remastering and putting your, you know, putting Knights of the Old Republic in 4K. You can't because the graphics aren't in 4K, though.
Have I said that? I never even mentioned 4K. I'm just saying, 4K. You're saying that, Danny.
You're trying to find your way out of the room you just painted yourself into.
No, I'm not finding a way out. I'm speaking from my opinion. You want my opinion? I'm giving you my opinion.
No, but you're putting it across as if this is fact. There's no way that they're making higher res out of a game from 2005. It's not possible.
Based on their interviews, not me, based on what they were saying, if it's true, then I'm going with that. If it's not true, I'm going to call them out on that. That's what I'm trying to say, P. I never mentioned 4K. I never mentioned none of that stuff. What I'm saying is, based on their interview from Microsoft talking about this as quote-unquote coming soon, they said it's going to look better. It's going to have high res and upscale and all that stuff. That's what I'm saying.
What do you think high res is?
Oh my God, Pete! Pete, what I'm saying is going to look better than the original Xbox, Pete. That's what I'm trying to tell you, man.
It's going to look better. How often do you go and play backward compatible games?
Okay,
on your Xbox?
Now you come.
No, I'm asking you a question.
I'm playing Xbox 360 all the time.
And do those games get up-resed in any way, shape, or form? No,
it looks sharper. But here's why it looks sharper. No, but Pete, this is why I'm saying they look sharper is based on the connection, the HDMI, and all that stuff. That's right. That I'm talking from that point of view from the Xbox 360. Now, the original Xbox, of course, is not like the 360 is going to look way better than the original Xbox games, right? Based on the at that time better hardware and everything. But I'm saying at that time, it. These games were meant for the original console. It wasn't a port or anything like that. That's what I'm trying to say, Pete. It's going to look better. It's going to look sharper than when you play the original Xbox. You don't think so?
No, there's no possible way. That's why. Just because you put the original Halo on a 4K TV doesn't make it a better looking game, though.
Jesus Christ, why are you mentioning 4K?
Because it's 4K. Going from one hardware to another. It doesn't make a difference, though.
Pete, I haven't, for the love of God, I haven't mentioned 4K. Where are you coming with this 4K stuff? I haven't
coming
even mentioned
out your mouth.
That. No, where? Where have I mentioned 4K? You the one
you're
mentioned 4K
it's up-resing
twice.
The game. You're saying it's up-resing and going to a higher resolution. You can't do that. Just because you're stretching the pixels on the screen doesn't make it a better looking game.
Oh my God. I haven't mentioned 4K at all.
I love how he finds the little thing.
No,
to fit
I
your
haven't
narrative.
Mentioned that.
Dude. God, I can imagine. Paris is out camping right now. He's probably standing.
I don't care. Paris is not here. It's you and me right now. I don't care.
He's probably
who's
standing
watching.
In the campfire, just like burn, kill me now.
Yo, I'm going, Pete. One more time. I'm going based on what they've been promoting. Because look, they've been doing interviews and people ask, hey, so any updates about this? And they're mentioning it. I'm going based what I read online, like the stuff that or watch their video interviews. Like I'm going based on that. I'm not here to promote like 4K, the new TVs. I haven't mentioned none of that stuff. I'm saying that based on what they're saying, it's going to look better. It's not a remaster. That's what I'm trying to say, Pete. I'm telling you, go online and search. It's out there. I'm going based on that. What
and
I see.
And you're
going
to take them for, you're going to take what they're saying as gospel.
Okay. So what I said a few minutes ago, if you were listening, what I said a few minutes ago, I said, if it's BS, if it's a lie, I'm going to call them out. I'm going to call them out on that.
But why are you defending it and making it sound as if this is
I'm not defending it. I'm saying that this is cool. This is good. It's gonna look better. All right, perfect example. Perfect example. If the virtual console is coming out from the Nintendo Switch, which it is coming out, which version you think is going to be better? The original NES or the Nintendo Switch version? Just answer that. And we're going to go from there.
It's going to be the exact same game, Danny.
They're not
adding new assets. You can't make a game better looking,
Pete,
if you don't add different assets.
Okay. This is why you're wrong. If you were reading, in caps, reading, Nintendo said that they're adding online multiplayer with all these old games on the Nintendo Switch. Super NES, NES. Have you heard about that? No. So which version is going to be better? The original NES or the Nintendo Switch version?
If they're adding content?
Yeah.
Wow, Daddy, you really don't make sense any way, shape, or form. If
no, it makes sense.
If they're adding content, then they're changing the game. And then, yeah, it's going to be better because they're adding stuff that the original didn't have.
All right, I'm going to move on because I think I'm just going based on their interview. I'm going to move on, but I'm going based from their interview. Cool? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. If I'm wrong,
but Danny,
I'm wrong.
But do you even make sense?
Oh my God.
You're not making sense. Perfect example of what you just said. You took an iPhone and you added a 4G MiFi to it. That's what you're saying is what happened. This is the original game that came out. This is the changes they made to the backwards compatibility. That's essentially what you're saying. Yeah, this is going to be different and this is going to be better because you're adding functionality to the game.
Okay. All right. You win, Pete. You win. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You won the debate then.
It's nothing about winning. It's just it doesn't make any sense. 8-bit graphics or 8-bit graphics. You can't even if you stretch 8-bit graphics to fit a larger screen, it's still 8-bit graphics. That's what I'm trying to get across.
I'm talking about the quality and based on what they were saying too. That's all I'm saying, Pete. That's all.
But do you understand what I'm...
Let's move on. Let's move on. Yes, I understand, but let's move on. Because people are saying to move on. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, let's talk about Star Trek Discovery. Have you seen the latest episode? Oh my God, that ending was so good. Oh my God, so many questions. But for those that don't know much about this show, let's talk about a little bit right here. Star Trek is one of the most iconic and influential global television franchise And it returns after 50 years from its first premiere with Star Trek Discovery. The CBS All Access original series features a new ship, new characters, and new missions while embracing the same mythology and hope for the future that inspired a generation of dreamers and doers. Star Trek Discovery is available right now exclusively on CBS All Access. And you could go and watch every single episode right now. Go back and check it out. You don't have to watch it live or anything like that. You can watch it whenever you want, as long as you have access. CBS All Access subscribers can watch the epic journey unfold every Sunday across all devices. So I watch it all the time using my Xbox One device. And you can start your free trial right now. All you have to do is go to cbs.com/Star Trek. That's cbs.com/Star Trek. GTR listeners, take advantage of this and hit me up. Let me know what you think of the show. I think it's awesome. All right. All right. So I'm looking at the topics here, and I'm reading that. And you know what? I kind of agree with this. So they're saying now that Destiny 2, the player base, has dropped by over 2 million users since launch. Now, it could be a combination of all these games that came out last month and, you know, and the newer games that is still popping, that, you know, is still getting a lot of, like, support from a lot of gamers and stuff. And now, especially now with the holidays coming out, even more games is coming out. And I think people are just waiting. I'm talking about based on the Destiny 2. I think people are just waiting for, like, new stuff. That's what I think. Because, like, me, I haven't played Destiny 2 in maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And the reason is because I want to, like, review all these games and start playing and all that stuff. But in your case, Pete, you're just basically done with the game. You moved on. Mm-hmm. Paris is still plays. You know, there's a lot of people like Paris is still play and stuff. But why do you think their user base has been dropping like crazy compared to their first game?
I can only speak to my personal experience. I think the overall game that I was thinking was going to move to Destiny 2, they've changed it. Again, I'm probably the wrong person to speak on the hows and whys. I can only speak on my personal experiences.
Yeah.
The game that I fell in love with 2 years ago, right, where, you know, I spent, you know, hell, we coined you know, Destiny House, you know, Destiny Wives, you know, Destiny whatever thing hashtag. It doesn't feel the same for me. And so, you know, yeah, I leveled up a Titan to 265, but like I said in the last show, I think I don't have that same excitement to do and spend all that time grinding and playing the game as I did with the previous iteration. Now, I know, like, in Paris's case, he gets that, that's his bonding opportunity with Trey. And quite frankly, I'm jealous because I wish I had those minute instances where I could do that with my kids. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think where we're at now in 2017, like, I can spend more time sitting there watching my daughter fail at Cuphead last night. Like, I spent like an hour, you know, watching her playing. That was more fun than sitting there and play. Doesn't say I go back and play with her on other games. You know, like, we'll play Rayman Legends and stuff like that, 'cause that's one of her favorite games of all time. So we'll jump in and we'll play that. But keeping to the topic of the game, it's not the same anymore. For me personally, and it doesn't check those boxes for fun. Like, it almost feels personally like a chore for me to grab my controller and fire it up. And that's not what Destiny used to be for me. Destiny for me used to be like, it didn't matter if I had 5-10 minutes before I had to run out and go do something. Let's put it this way. I don't wake up early in the morning to jump on to see where Xur is at or try to get in a strike before I leave for work. I don't run home during lunch or run home after work or skip out from the gym to come home and play Destiny. I've done all of those for a game like PUBG, though. And I'm saying, from my personal experience, I've done each and every one of those. I've woken up early to try to get in a solos match before I left for work, if I can. I've come home during lunch at work to go home and play PUBG and get a match or three, grab a sandwich and run out the door and go back to work. I've done that. I've come home, you know, shirked the gym, shirked, you know, cooking dinner to get in a few matches of PUBG. I've stayed up late playing PUBG. And unfortunately, Destiny 2 just doesn't do that for me anymore. And so that's why the console stays, you know, that's why I haven't fired up Destiny 2 since Hurricane Irma. That was the last time I fired it up.
I'm wondering what's going to happen once the PC version comes out on the 24th. Like, is it going to go up? It's going to be, I mean, there's a lot of new gamers that are going to play that for the first time on the PC that never play the first one. So we'll see. I just hope that Bungie starts changing the game. So I know they had like a panel a couple of days ago on during TwitchCon. I'm going to wait for Paris to come here so we could talk about that, because I don't have enough information about it. But I heard that they're making a lot of changes, and so far it looks good, the changes, you know. But but the question is the end game. What's going to happen after that? Like,
well, for me personally, the raid was off. And again, when I played Destiny, it was more for the PvE experience, and it wasn't until the tail end where I actually started delving more into the PvP part. And yes, there's some times where it's fun, but I think going to PC and finally opening up that channel of gamers that they were missing from the console launch, I think it helps them. I think you'll see that number rise simply because it's the PC crowd being curious and wanting to play, right? So wanting to play something that if they didn't have a console before, they can play it now. And so you'll see an uptick in gameplay for the PC side. I think in general, I think there's enough support for the game that Destiny 2 will be okay. In the long run, you know, Bungie has always been, and as like, kind of like, you know, what we were talking about earlier with, you know, being in the industry, playing the slow game, right? Going for the long term, not going for the quick, you know, the quick knockout at the beginning, because, you know, you could have games that are phenomenal for the first month or two, and then you see, you know, the drop off rapidly. Agents of Mayhem, we saw that happen with, you know, it was really good uptick right at the launch, and then, you know, it just plateaus and hits the ground hard. Every game has its ups and downs. Every game has its peaks and valleys in performance. You know, we saw the initial uprise. You know, I hate to keep going to PUBG, but that's, you know, that's where I spend most of my time. You saw the initial uprise of PUBG. It started to wax and wane, plateaued, came down, and now it's on this meteoric rise where now it's consistently over 2 million people concurrently playing it. There's going to be more, and we've seen and heard it before from Bungie. They listen to their community. If there's any,
oh, they always do.
If yep, there's great. Any company, any developer slash pub that has its ear to the grindstone and knows what the community wants, it's them. You know, they've got a phenomenal community team between Irk and Cosmo and Deej and everyone else. They listen. They're one of the few that do that consistently listen and are constantly evolving. So what, you know, and I think, and Paris has said this, and, you know, whether it be for Destiny and Destiny 2, what we're seeing now is going to be totally different, you know, in a year and a half, 2 years from now. Right. So yeah, the numbers might be declining, but I don't think this is going to be the norm. I think as changes evolve, as more content comes out, as the game dynamically changes and shifts to adjust to what people want, it's going to improve. This is just happens to be one of those valleys, and obviously it's a negative, so everybody's going to hyper focus on the, oh look, they're dropping numbers, woo, panic. No, it happens, right? give them time. They will fix it. Yeah. And that sound that might sound apologetic to it or sound like an apologist for it, but we've seen it time and time again where they see the issue, they reiterate, they shift focus, they change, they fix, they course correct. And next thing you know, watch, we'll probably be talking 6 to 8 months from now, like, oh my God, Bungie's doing phenomenal. Destiny 2 is so amazing. And why? Mm-hmm. Because they listen to the community, they reiterate, they're going to be fine.
And I'm going to definitely going to wait for Paris to come here the next episode. We could talk more about that, you know. But the game is going to do fine, man. And plus, remember too, there is going to be even more people with that game. And during the holidays, when they buy for, you know, for exchange gifts and all that stuff. Yeah, way more people. Yeah, what you call it, Pete? That the day after Christmas? You call it
it's a National Noob Day. National Noob Day. That's because when all the kids are like, oh, look, I got Call of Duty. It used to be my favorite day of the year. Because then, you know, we'd go on and you'd splat
a lot of rookies.
And with matchmaking as bad as it was back then, you know, you would be like prestige level 8 in a room with a whole, all you'd see is level 1s all the way across the board on the lobby map. And it'd be like, oh, yes. But right. It'll be fine. The game will be fine.
All right, it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Okay, this is going to be from MKV8493 on our Discord server. If you haven't gone there yet, go to... Oh, whoops, I changed it. I just realized that because I'm using Discord. Actually, I'll just leave it up because it's our fan mail. It's our fan mail channel. If you haven't gone there yet, discord.gg/GTR. You can go to Discord, join our Discord family, and talk to us. So here's a message from Rob. Hey, GTR, you guys constantly drop names of podcasts and show that you are into. Would you be willing to post the names of them here? I do a lot of driving and would like to do some would like some podcast suggestions. Thanks, Rob.
All right, so here's a few that I listen to that's really good. Spawn on Me. I love Spawn on Me podcast. I listen to also a couple of like the IGN. Like I love the IGN podcast, especially like the Nintendo voice chat. That was really good. Unlocked, Xbox Unlocked. It's really good. Thinking of any other ones. Let me look at my phone. I have a lot here. But there's a lot. Oh, shout out to Andrew, the show radio. That he has a pretty good show there that he does a lot of like interviews to and everything, man. So it's pretty cool. So yeah. Any other ones you recommend from your end, Pete?
From a general podcast perspective or just gaming? If it's just gaming, I'm going to say Spawn on Me first and foremost. Some of the best discussions for people of color in gaming. Khalif, Sharif, Cicero, and Tanya. It almost gets no better than that for discussion. Right. For gaming, shout out to, like you said, Andrew at the show radio. Love what he's been doing. Love to see the growth that him and his group, you know, that he's been doing over the years. If you want to talk outside of outside of gaming in general, I'll give Paris a little bit extra shine on this one. Two Big Topics with him and Chris. I love their discussions. 99% Invisible is probably a constant. And I'm not a big podcast person. I know you and Paris listen to a lot more than I do. But 99% Invisible is probably the one consistent out of all of them that I always listen to, especially when you're on radio. They're short form, 15 to 30, you know, 15 to 20 minutes, you know, something you can listen to and you get a lot of good content about. Mark Maron on occasion. And then shout out to the homies at Drink Champs, you know, DJ EFN and Nori, you know. I've known EFN since high school, you know, so we've got years, you know, in history. And, you know, I obviously, you know, you and I are hip hop fans, you know, Paris too, you know, love hearing those stories of the industry from back in the day and just keeping hip hop, you know, keeping that golden age of hip hop relevant and bringing back those stories. It's just, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I have a couple here that I'm subscribed to, and I'm looking. So shout out to this is a Spanish podcast all about gaming. Zona Gamer Podcast is really good. What's Good Games? It's really good. Shout out to Brittany and the whole squad over there, man. Everybody, Andrea and everything. So shout out to them. Also, I listened to the Taz Show. I'm into wrestling, so I listened to that. I have a lot of like political podcasts here. I don't want to like talk about that stuff, but I listen to that too. Yeah, The Young Turks is one of them that I listen to a lot. So there's a lot. So there you go. All right, so we have another.
Actually, you know what? Before you go further on that, because it's something that I think needs to be talked about. So just because we don't listen to podcasts, can we throw out maybe YouTube or Twitch channels that we subscribe to and watch regularly?
Yeah, yeah.
Does that count as well?
Yeah, why not? Go for it.
Okay. I'd have to say then, go ahead.
Yeah, I watch a lot on YouTube. I watch Spawn Wave. It's really good. Switch Force. It's really, really good. I watched that. Looking at the other ones. I have a long list, man. I have a long list here. Gold Nintendo. They have a YouTube channel and a podcast. So I watched that. I watch more of the videos than the podcast, but they got some great content there. So if you want to go from there, P, those are the ones that I watch the most on YouTube.
Okay. If we're talking YouTube/Twitch, shout out to the homie Dougie. Good Game Bro.
Oh, yeah. Good Game Bro. Yes.
Good Game Bro is always good. Obviously, you know, you see the background here, all comic books, you know, so Comics Explained, you know, the Rob Core, you know, that's probably a daily listen to. One of Jay's Two Cents, Acolyte, Digital Foundry, Casey Neistat as well. Mm-hmm. So you know, I've got, and that's why I asked, because I have a lot more randomness with the YouTube streaming stuff, you know, the those things. So it's not as hyper focused as like on a podcast, because usually I'm a little bit more it's a lot easier for me to fire up a video than it is, and that might sound kind of in reverse, where people think, oh well, you've got your phone with you, you can just fire it up. But for me, I think I like that better. Stody, Dr. Disrespect, and if I'm going to be on Twitch, it's a lot of either Dr. Disrespect, Summit 1G, Jack Frags, and Sacreal. Those are the ones that I'm watching the most of.
All right. This is from Mike Ross, long-time listener, first time emailing us. So thanks, Mike. He's like, have you guys seen the new Harmonix new game, Drop Mix? It's a musical co-op competitive card game where you create mashups using special NFC cards, which is going to help you also to like to do like remixes, Pete. Like that's your type of style of game, Pete, because, you know, the whole DJing history that you have with that. He said that there's been light coverage for this video game. This board game on video game websites and everything, man. But he said he heard about it like a few weeks ago. He said he picked it up. He's like, I picked it up last week, and he was absolutely blown away by how much fun it was. At first, he said he was worried that it would end up being a glorified noisemaker. But after several hours, I'm happy to report that he was wrong, he said. So... have you heard about this, Pete? Because I think we've seen a little bit during E3, and then I think there was people also talking about it during PAX, but we were like moving around so much. But last night I was searching for this game, like through Amazon, different stores. I'm thinking of getting it just to talk about it on the show. It's I think it's only like $99, the board game. And you could also buy like different packs, and there's all type of genre music there, rock, hip hop, everything there, man. So have you heard about this game?
Yeah. And it is $99, came out at the end of September. Okay. I don't know, me personally, if I'm willing to drop $100 on something that's not going to get a lot of use. Right. Mm-hmm. If you see yourself, Danny, doing more than pulling this out at one or two parties, I think $100 is a pretty steep entry point for for this. I have not spent a lot of time researching or for that part playing it, so I can't say much. But $100 for an hour or two. That's, and it's another piece of hardware that I get to stick on my shelf. The shelves are kind of stacked as you can see. I don't know. I really don't know. And in this day and age where people are constantly bombarding you with things to take idle time periods, I just don't know if I can spend, if I can warrant another $100 investment. Let's put it this way. If I'm gonna throw money at something and I've got an extra $100 lying around, I'd rather put that $100 towards a Nintendo Switch versus, or a Nintendo Switch bundle versus trying to put that on something like the Drop Mix that I'm going to get maybe an hour or two of use. And then it's going to sit on the shelf for another, you know, month until I have friends over or family members over and I pull it out for 30 minutes and then it goes back on the shelf for another couple of months and then it gets forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
I just can't see myself justifying $100 throw at, on something like that when I can use that towards something like I've been trying to convince myself to get the Switch. I'd rather have that $100 thrown at the Switch and that's $100 less that I get to worry about, to get something that's likely going to get more usage or has more functionality because on the Drop Mix, it is what it is. That's all you're going to get. That's all the content you're really going to get. Whereas on a Switch, you know, you've got the Splatoons, the Breath of the Wilds, the Nintendo Odyssey, you know, the Mario Odyssey, Mario Kart 8, and everything else, soup to nuts, your Edgar Scrolls in there. You know, you just have so many more opportunities for enjoyment versus a hyper-focused $100 object. You know, and no knock on Harmonix, you know, they've got a great history, but if you're asking Pete where he wants to throw $100, I'd much rather throw that on something that I'm going to get a hell of a lot more use out of.
All right. So here's another email. I'm sorry I pronounced his name wrong. Is it Gokhan? It's
you're asking me?
I don't know. He's from Australia, so I don't know. All right. He's like, sorry if I pronounced your name wrong, but hey, Danny, Pete, and Paris. Listened to your podcast recently. I was very surprised to hear that only a small margin of listeners only sent through questions. But anyways, I always love you guys and the positive messages you produce week in, week out for the gaming community. Just a question for you all. With all the content you guys bring out, how many hours do you give yourself to play games every week? I'm like P in Paris. I have kids, so I try to give myself maybe 2-3 hours every second day. Also, Danny, I think doing a live show is a brilliant idea. I wish I could be there if this does happen, but I'm in Sydney, Australia. But hey, would it possible for GTR to come to Australia? Hey, Pete, you never know, right? You never know. So right now I'm just focusing on Twitch and also the podcast. So I'm not working right now. So I've been playing a lot, especially like in the morning. I go online and stream all the games that I have here. It could be old games, it could be new games. So I'm always playing. So I have a lot of free time for that. If I'm not editing the podcast or doing other stuff for the show. But Pete, you that work all the time, you're always busy. How much time do you give like for gaming and stuff, man, when you have some free time?
I would say one of the keys for me to be able to spend a lot of time playing games, yeah. My kids, it also depends on the age of your kids. I've got a 19 year old son. I've got a 14 year old daughter. So when they go to bed, pretty much is when, obviously my son's in college, but like my daughter, she goes to bed is when I jump on to play because that time, and our family has, you know, my wife, thankfully, you know, she's been the one that enforces it for us. When it's time for dinner, it's time for dinner. Everybody drops what you're doing. We go to the dinner table. We don't turn on the TV. We don't have any, you know, distractions, and it's just us. So I think it's hyper, I think it's very, very important that you focus on the time you spend with your family and your kids. It's funny. You don't know how much you miss them until they're out. So, you know, when my son went to college, it was just like, we're kind of missing someone here. So you want to make sure that you're spending as much time when you can with them. As they get older, obviously they have their own little personal plans and their time and things that they want to do. So, you know, the Sunday nights when I do my stream, the kids know that, you know, 8 p.m. on Sundays, you know, is when I'm going to jump on. So we try to do things before that. For me personally, it's whenever I've got the free time, or, and sometimes like last night I was going to jump on and play PUBG, and the wife reminded me, like, no, we're going to watch TV. You know, we're going to have a family movie night in the living room. You know, my daughter had her homecoming. So it's just me, my wife, my son, we watched Spider-Man Homecoming, you know, on the big screen. So it's, you game when you can, as long as it doesn't overtake your life and it becomes the your sole focus. That's probably the best, you know, recommendation that I could give. Game when you can, because family is more important.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com or that site doesn't exist anymore. go to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback over there. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to spread the word, share it. And if you get the chance, if you listen to us through iTunes, make sure to post a review over there. This week, we're going to be busy. We have a lot of surprises coming this week. Hopefully this and next week. So make sure to follow us on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio and tune in. And we got a cool stuff coming. Cool stuff coming. Anything else, Pete?
No, that's it. That's it.
All right. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.